Harry stood there, gazing at the miraculous map. He watched the tiny ink Mrs. Norris turn left and pause to sniff at something on the floor. If Filch really didn't know, he wouldn't have to pass the Dementors at all. But even as he stood there, flooded with excitement, something Harry had once heard Mr. Weasley say came floating out of his memory. "Never trust anything that can think for itself if you can't see where it keeps its brain." This map was one of those dangerous magical objects Mr. Weasley had been warning against. Aids for magical mischief-makers. But then, Harry reasoned, he only wanted to use it to get into Hogsmeade. It wasn't as though he wanted to steal anything or attack anyone, and Fred and George had been using it for years without anything horrible happening. Harry traced the secret passage to Honeydukes with his finger. Then, quite suddenly, as though following orders, he rolled up the map, stuffed it inside his robes, and hurried to the door of the classroom. He opened it a couple of inches. There was no one outside. Very carefully, he edged out of the room and slipped behind the statue of the One-Eyed Witch. What did he have to do? He pulled out the map again and saw, to his astonishment, that a new ink figure had appeared upon it, labelled Harry Potter. This figure was standing exactly where the real Harry was standing, about halfway down the third-floor corridor. Harry watched carefully. His little ink self appeared to be tapping the witch with his minute wand. Harry quickly took out his real wand and tapped the statue. Nothing happened. He looked back at the map. The tiniest speech bubble had appeared next to his figure. The word inside said, "Descendium." "Descendium," Harry whispered, tapping the stone witch again. At once the statue's hump opened wide enough to admit a fairly thin person. Harry glanced quickly up and down the corridor, then tucked the map away again, hoisted himself into the hole headfirst, and pushed himself forwards. He slid a considerable way down what felt like a stone slide, then landed on cold, damp earth. He stood up, looking around. It was pitch dark. He held up his wand, muttered, "Lumos," and saw that he was in a very narrow, low, earthy passageway. He raised the map, tapped it with the tip of his wand, and muttered, "Mischief managed." The map went blank at once. He folded it carefully, tucked it inside his robes, then, heart beating fast, both excited and apprehensive, he set off. The passage twisted and turned more like the burrow of a giant rabbit than anything else. Harry hurried along it, stumbling now and then on the uneven floor, holding his wand out in front of him. It took ages, but Harry had the thought of Honeydukes to sustain him. After what felt like an hour, the passage began to rise. Panting, Harry sped up, his face hot, his feet very cold. 10 minutes later, he came to the foot of some worn stone steps, which rose out of sight above him. Careful not to make any noise, Harry began to climb. 100 steps. 200 steps. He lost count as he climbed, watching his feet. Then, without warning, his head hit something hard. It seemed to be a trap door. Harry stood there, massaging the top of his head, listening. He couldn't hear any sounds above him. Very slowly, he pushed the trap door open and peered over the edge. He was in a cellar, which was full of wooden crates and boxes. Harry climbed out of the trap-door and replaced it. It blended so perfectly with the dusty floor that it was impossible to tell it was there. Harry crept slowly towards the wooden staircase that led upstairs. Now he could definitely hear voices, not to mention the tinkle of a bell and the opening and shutting of a door. Wondering what he ought to do, he suddenly heard a door open, much closer at hand. Somebody was about to come downstairs.
"And get another box of jelly slugs, dear. They've nearly cleaned us out," said a woman's voice.
A pair of feet was coming down the staircase. Harry leapt behind an enormous crate and waited for the footsteps to pass. He heard the man shifting boxes against the wall opposite. He might not get another chance. Quickly and silently, Harry dodged out from his hiding place and climbed the stairs. Looking back, he saw an enormous backside and a shiny bald head buried in a box. Harry reached the door at the top of the stairs, slipped through it, and found himself behind the counter of Honeydukes. He ducked, crept sideways, and then straightened up. Honeydukes was so crowded with Hogwarts students that no one looked twice at Harry. He edged amongst them, looking around, and suppressed a laugh as he imagined the look that would spread over Dudley's piggy face if he could see where Harry was now. There were shelves upon shelves of the most succulent-looking sweets imaginable. Creamy chunks of nougat, shimmering pink squares of coconut ice, fat, honey-coloured toffees, hundreds of different kinds of chocolate in neat rows. There was a large barrel of every flavour beans, and another of fizzing whizbees, the levitating sherbet balls that Ron had mentioned. Along yet another wall were special effects sweets. Droobel's best blowing gum, which filled a room with bluebell-coloured bubbles that refused to pop for days. The strange, splintery, tooth-flossing string mints. Tiny black pepper imps, breathe fire for your friends. Ice mice, hear your teeth chatter and squeak. Peppermint creams, shaped like toads, hop realistically in the stomach. Fragile, sugar-spun quills and exploding bonbons. Harry squeezed himself through a crowd of sixth-years and saw a sign hanging in the furthest corner of the shop, Unusual Tastes. Ron and Hermione were standing underneath it, examining a tray of blood-flavoured lollipops. Harry sneaked up behind them.
"Oh, no, Harry won't want one of those. They're for vampires, I expect," Hermione was saying.
"How about these?" said Ron, shoving a jar of cockroach cluster under Hermione's nose. "Definitely not," said Harry. Ron nearly dropped the jar.
"Harry!" squealed Hermione. "What are you doing here? How did you—"
"Wow!" said Ron, looking very impressed. "You've learned to apparate."
"Course I haven't," said Harry.
He dropped his voice so that none of the sixth-years could hear him, and told them all about the Marauder's map.
"How come Fred and George never gave it to me?" said Ron, outraged. "I'm their brother!"
"But Harry isn't going to keep it," said Hermione, as though the idea was ludicrous. "He's going to hand it in to Professor McGonagall, aren't you, Harry?"
"No, I'm not," said Harry.
"Are you mad?" said Ron, goggling at Hermione. "Hand in something that good?"
"If I hand it in, I'll have to say where I got it. Filch would know Fred and George nicked it."
"But what about Sirius Black?" Hermione hissed. "He could be using one of the passages on that map to get into the castle. The teachers have got to know."
"He can't be getting in through a passage," said Harry quickly. "There are 7 secret tunnels on the map, right? Fred and George reckon Filch already knows about 4 of them, and the other 3, one of them's caved in, so no one can get through it. One of them's got the Whomping Willow planted over the entrance, so you can't get out of it, and the one I just came through... Well, it's really hard to see the entrance to it down in the cellar, so unless he knew it was there..."
Harry hesitated. What if Black did know the passage was there?
Ron, however, cleared his throat significantly and pointed to a notice pasted on the inside of the sweet shop door.
"By order of the Ministry of Magic. Customers are reminded that until further notice, Dementors will be patrolling the streets of Hogsmeade every night after sundown. This measure has been put in place for the safety of Hogsmeade residents and will be lifted upon the recapture of Sirius Black. It is therefore advisable that you complete your shopping well before nightfall. Merry Christmas."
"See," said Ron, quietly, "I'd like to see Black try and break into Honeydukes with Dementors swarming all over the village. Anyway, Hermione, the Honeydukes owners would hear a break-in, wouldn't they? They live over the shop."
"Yes, but...
Hermione seemed to be struggling to find another problem.
"Look, Harry still shouldn't be coming into Hogsmeade. He hasn't got a signed form. If anyone finds out, he'll be in so much trouble. And it's not nightfall yet. What if Sirius Black turns up today? Now?"
"He'd have a job spotting Harry in this," said Ron, nodding through the mullioned windows at the thick, swirling snow.